So we're looking at the Peace Offering again, parts 4 and 5, not the whole thing, but we are looking at who, the first two sections, who are the children of the priests, and the different grades of the Peace Offering. So that's what we'll stop at a certain section. Do you know where that is? Okay. Starting off, who are the children of the priests? God, Christ, and the offerer find satisfaction in the peace offering, but there's one other party who also partakes of this offering, the priest's children. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 31 and 32, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest, for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Numbers 18, verses 9 to 11. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel, I have given them unto you, and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. And that's underlined for a reason. Who are the children of the priest? If the priest is Christ, then the children are his church, his body. But just as Christ is presented to us in many different forms, which are needed to portray to us his many functions as sacrifice, offering, offerer, temple, altar, veil and vessels, and chief cornerstone, etc., so too is the church, which is his body, also presented to us in many different forms. The church is also called his body, lively stones, the son of the bondwoman, the son of the free woman, the first Adam, the last Adam, Israel according to the flesh, and the Israel of God, the veil of the temple, his bride, 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, the olive tree, the fig tree, Jerusalem and New Jerusalem, etc., etc. Each name reveals another aspect of the church or another degree of maturity in Christ. These are all the children of the priest. To partake of the offering at all, the sons of Aaron and his daughters. How to partake of the offering with the priest? If this offering is received at all, it is through the priests. So it is to this day we receive of Christ only through Christ and his word. The church is in communion with Christ and his Father through the offering of Christ. The church is, with the priests, receiving nourishment and intercession through Christ, in the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies, where only the priests can go. Unless we get the wrong nourishment, let me point out this verse before we read that. That's why it says we're raised in heavenly places, and this is happening right now. And that's why we obviously ask the Lord to bring us together often and to be reminded of that reality. 1 Corinthians 4:6 says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And Paul went on to say, understand that, because we're a body and we need every part. And he's saying that's the humility of Christ, recognizing we're the body. And without Christ, motivating and moving the many body parts, what would we be without our head? So we need each other, and we shouldn't be puffed up one against another. We should be so thankful for, and we are, but the Lord has to mature us into that understanding, because we don't recognize that. Just how critical every one of us are to making God's plan move forward. And the world has to see that. They will see it one day. Michael's on to say, now leave out the uninspired words in brackets and read this verse again. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. If you want any hope of properly trying the spirits, then you had better be willing to acknowledge that the things written are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And that is why there is a qualifier when it comes to the priests and their children. Numbers 18, verse 11, I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever, every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. And that's the qualifier. This is a spiritual statement about spiritual food, because John 4, chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This verse is the very basis of this statement by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 down to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So connecting the body of Christ, the church, to the afflictions in the body, our communion, the body and blood of Christ. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We die daily, we fill up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So our actions affect the body of Christ, is what this is telling us. If I eat spiritually something bad, I'm weakening the body of Christ. If I, contrary to that, stay in the Word, study, ask the Lord to keep me on that narrow path, which we are all striving for. And of course, it's a process, but we end up being able to heal each other through that process. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of thy cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. But the soul that eats, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 20, but the soul that eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So we don't go to the altar if we don't bring a sacrifice and we don't eat the peace offering, if our lives and our mind is contaminated, is what he's saying, because our actions will affect each other. Only a clean priest and his children are permitted to partake of communion with God. Anything unclean is under the curse of attempting to contaminate the most holy thing, Christ and his word. This is why when we are informed that we have an altar at which those who serve the physical tabernacle have no right to eat, the verse before that is warning us against false doctrines. So this is the context, and it's very important. Hebrews 13, verses 9 and 10. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. The reason they have no right to eat is that though they are children of the priest, they serve the physical tabernacle, and they are unclean. They are nepios, immature sons, no better than a servant, though they are children of the priest. They will not go beyond the six milk doctrines of Hebrews 6, or worse still, they are so puffed up in their own spirituality that they are willing to go beyond that which is written. Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving, going on beyond, the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, yet still within that which is written, the commandments of the Lord, like we saw earlier, that verse in Corinthians, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. In either case, they have no right to eat at our altar and of our meat of the offering, Christ. Christ is not stuck in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, nor has he gone beyond that which is written. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 and 30. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And spiritually, especially. Maybe there is physical consequence. There is, there can be. And that could be the way that the Lord will chasten us when we're afflicted and we have thorns in our flesh. It keeps us humble. But spiritually, we don't want to be weak and sickly. We want to be strong and healthy. And that's why we just need to feed off of what the Lord gives us. Continue to pray for that spirit. I always go back to that verse. What is our communion? Our communion is the body and the blood of Christ. And we are the body. And we have the life of Christ in us, which is his words, which is the blood. How are we to avoid this predicament? 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32, for if we would judge ourselves, try our own spirits, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, and we all have to be judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So that obviously makes us realize that we must not despise God's chastening, because he's cleansing us and he's freeing us from those spirits and from those false idols of our hearts. Spiritual words, one and all, not discerning the Lord's body, is not trying the spirits. It is not judging ourselves. It is eating and drinking unworthily. Hebrews 13, verses 9 and 10. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, not with false doctrines, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He, if we are clean children of the priest, have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the physical tabernacle. And then we come to the different grades of the peace offering. The only grades in the peace offering are the herd and the flock. The peace offering can be of the herd, male or female. And that should tell us there is neither male nor female. By saying that, peace offering can be of the Lord, male or female, or it can be a lamb or a goat of the flocks. There's no turtle dove given as a peace offering. There are no washings of the different parts of the offerings. There is no restricting of this offering being only a bullock. Here are the only instructions given for offering the peace offering so far as the offerer is involved. And that's found in Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. So offering something that's without blemish means that it's being understood in our hearts that we're accepted through Christ. That's what makes our life unblemished, our sacrifice, because we can't bring anything to the altar except it's done through Christ. That's it. The offerer shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, just like the offering of the herd and the burnt offering. But when we get to the offering of the flocks and sheep and the goats are treated separately, whereas they are considered as one in the burnt offering. There's no mention here of offering either the lamb or the goat on the north side of the altar. There is no mention of being only a bullock. There is no mention of laying out the parts in order on the altar. There's no mention of washing God's part of the offering, the inwards and the legs, with water. All of these particulars given concerning the burnt offering are missing and left off in the peace offering. Why would that be so? The reason why so many of the particulars are not included in this offering is that those who understand this offering will already understand the instructions concerning the particulars given in the burnt offering. If you grasp that, you can sit down and enjoy a meal of Christ with Christ and his Father. If you grasp that you are accepted in the Beloved, if you understand that you are communing with and being interceded for in Christ, you will also understand that God's burnt offering has to be cleansed through baptism. You will understand that you are being judged from the north. You will understand that you have fellowship with God through Christ, and that your head, inward parts, and the very best you have to offer, the fat, are all God's and are offered first. Those who have a right to eat at our altar know and understand these distinctions. So these distinctions are not mentioned in this offering, which nourishes God, Christ, and the offerer, because they will be generally comprehended by those who know their offering to this extent. So that's where we're going to stop right there. And that last section was very, pardon the pun, very meaty, very important. And it's about apprehension, right? And the order that we're going through here is, Lord willing, and it's all in his timing, but the more you partake of these offerings, the more strength we have in discernment. So the discernment is the sword. And this is an interesting thing. Aaron's doing this study about Hebrews 4. I can't remember the verse, chapter 12, I think, or verse 12, about discernment. That sword will get sharper as we know that iron sharpens iron. So we sharpen that sword through our fellowship. We are able to discern more clearly what and apprehend what these sacrifices mean and how we can share them with each other. But we have to be obviously given that opportunity to have that sword sharpened. And if we can find that verse, we'll go there after the study. But in Hebrews, where he talked about that, because I thought that was really relevant. Because if we have that gift and that discernment, then we're going to be blessed, and we'll be able to comprehend with all of the saints, as it says. So it's Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." This is actually not the one, but this is good. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And I can't remember which verse, Aaron. Is that the one? I think it was. Okay. So that's our study for tonight, and looking forward to the fellowship.